Hello. Thank you for listening to Schism 8, Episode 3. I'm David Mark Brown. Today we'll be picking up where we left off on the first episode of The Green Ones, Scene 4. 4. Without a word, Nika drapes Olin over his back like a jacket and shoulders his entire weight. I can't decide if the act is intended as a kindness or a final jab, pointing out the fact I need him. It doesn't matter. I'm exhausted both physically and emotionally. So for now, Nika leads, and I follow. For several minutes we trudge through Chedzitsyn alleys I've made a point to avoid. We passed Yulzoa, girls exhausted from leasing themselves out in hopes of becoming pregnant and thus more valuable in the eyes of society. On the surface, they don't look any different from me. We pass male Utsalatli, both high class and low. Nika nods greeting to several of them, confirming my speculation he makes a living as more than a psych fighter. But who am I to judge? If my parents hadn't left us the garden, if I hadn't found my mother's notes and figured out how to make dyes. And besides, isn't there more to me than a flat-chested Chedzitsyn dye trader? Reputation is important. Priorities are critical. My father taught me that. Set your priorities and do what it takes to keep them. That's exactly what I plan on doing. I just hope Nika is right about there being more to Centavo than his reputation. Because every kindness in the underground comes with strings attached. And connections to a man like Centavo won't make registering for the Academy any easier. We reach a haphazard complex of adobe apartments piled in the downhill corner of District 4 as if a mudslide deposited them there. This is how building additions are made in Worker City, with little consideration for past or future. This is the place. I nod my head, ready to get my brother somewhere safe, whatever the cost. What, no quip about the architecture? Hey, my bedroom is in a public market during the day. He nods while appraising me anew. The gesture starts my blood boiling, as if his approval means grease marks from banana peels. To avoid another confrontation, I scan the exterior of the building. Where's the front door? This way, grinning, Nika leads the way toward a set of stairs leading down. The existence of the basement reveals this building to be genuinely old. Underground construction in Worker City has been reserved for official MASA projects and city defense for over 100 years. Again, Nika responds as if reading my mind. Don't worry, he's not that old. But he is the oldest person I've ever met, and grumpy, too, so for the love of your brother, don't say anything stupid. We enter a long hallway, dimly lit by a strand of electric lights running along the ceiling. Nika turns a sharp corner and descends more stairs before ascending others. I want to ask him if he's intentionally leading us into a maze from which there is no escape. Instead, I carefully craft an alternative. Are you sure you don't need help with Olin? He must be getting heavy with all these stairs. Light as a feather. Don't worry, we're almost there. Nika faces me. Oh, and don't act like you remember the way out. Even if you do, he hates that. Slowly, I nod. Is there some secret greeting I should know? I'm half joking. Nika thinks it over. Just don't make any quick movements or try to touch him. I can tell he is smiling, but the light is too dim to determine if the smile is ironic or genuine. Okay. Moments later, he stops at the 12th unmarked door we've passed. Before he can open it, I place a hand on his arm. All I am looking for is a safe place to hide Olin while I make more of his medicine, Nika nods. I chew the inside of my cheek, reopening the wound from earlier. And maybe a place for both of us. Just until he's well enough to leave, I force myself to relax. 4 days, at the very most. Somewhere deep inside, I'm terrified Olin won't come back to me, that 4 days won't be enough, that I'm about to make a deal with the devil to dictate the rest of my desperate life. 5. Nika, I hope you've got good reason to invite your new companions into my home. Conscious or not. The lighting inside Centavo's apartment is barely brighter than the hallway. The crumbling adobe walls absorb what little there is. I can't even see the old man until he turns to face us. Torohatsun, Nika fumbles with the formal title before starting again. Sentavo, I... He exhales through his nose. Let me introduce you to Kelly Bluehair. Ah, the old man advances on us slowly, pulling a pipe from his pocket with one hand while secreting tobacco from a pouch with the other. Upon seeing the herb, I realize the room is thick with the smell of it. I know the plant because it grows in my mother's garden. The lighting of the pipe must be a good sign. Through the corner of my eye, I notice Nika relaxing under Olin's weight. I suspect Centavo relies on the fragrance to mask the stink of sweat and stale food. You will pardon my cold greeting. In the poor lighting that my lifestyle affords, I was unable to decipher the blue hue of your hair. Centavo puffs three times, each drag violently threatening to extinguish the match's flame before allowing it to revive. The dance of shadow and light cast by the small fire reveals a lopsided grin, warmer than I had expected. Satisfied the bowl is lit, he flicks the match. The gesture seems sloppy until I hear the slight ting of the spent matchstick striking a nearby waste can. Nika clears his throat. Centavo Huehue, it is my honor. Thank you so much for having me into your home. I catch myself fumbling with my braid and sheepishly return it to the small of my back. Certainly. I've been looking forward to meeting you, he says. I bite my lip, hoping I haven't already committed the worst possible of insults. He is the one who mentioned my hair. Still, I didn't have to draw attention to it. Now that it's been done, I can't think of anything else. I've never seen anyone without long hair, and Centavo is as bald as a cantaloupe. Of course he would be. Citizen status within the walls of New Teo is based on the continuous record of ID burns maintained within the strands of one's hair. To shave it is the ultimate in rebellion, a total rejection of the authorities. To have it forcibly cut is the highest form of punishment. Without a braid, a person has no rights in the eyes of the government. Nika nudges me out of my stunned silence by depositing Olin on a cushioned wicker couch. I'm sorry, Centavo Huehue, that it has to be under circumstances such as these, but I hesitate. This is it. A few simple words and I'll be entangled. I need your help.
I see. This must be your brother.
The old man slips quietly to the side of the couch, somehow covering the distance with barely a movement. The closer he gets, the smaller I realize he is. From behind the couch, Nika stares at me, perhaps trying to encourage me onward. Yes, I continue with more determination. He's been injured. By no fault of our own, it is unsafe for us to remain in plain sight. Yet, I need time to brew his medicine. Carefully, I continue, not wanting to insult the old man by implying he's my last resort. I didn't know where else to go. Centavo whisks a hand to Olin's forehead.
Injured, you say? He appears quite healthy.
I fumble, not wanting to say too much, but doubting I can hide anything from the likes of Centavo. It's his mind. Centavo nods and puffs his pipe.
Then it was the two of you at the site of the attack.
I gasp before quickly confessing. Yes, we were there, but only as bystanders.
Yet you survived. That much was quite fortunate.
Not really. Unsuccessfully, I attempt to suck the words back into my mouth. Centavo snorts, dislodging a rattle of phlegm in his throat.
Indeed, it was this young man, not fortune, that saved your life.
At first I wonder if he is referring to Nika. Then I know he means Olin. I swallow blood from the raw spot on the inside of my cheek. My brother is gifted, yes,
but he cannot control it.
He has medicine. It was destroyed. I need time to make more. I can't keep the words from tumbling across my lips. All my urgency spills out. Unchecked telekinesis is just short of outright rebellion in the government's eyes. He'll be fine. He'll get better, and the two of us will register for Masa Academy in 5 days. We'll be out of your hair. I catch myself too late, having inflicted a sure insult this time. And yet Centavo ignores my thoughtless comment.
I've no doubt your brother will be fine, and in less time than you think. He is not in need of any medication. As you have already said, his condition is one of the mind, and thus can be remedied accordingly. unexpected on multiple levels. His response disarms me. I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I wouldn't imagine so. It's a cure not readily available to the working class. He gestures to a matching wicker chair. Please, have a seat. I hesitate. Nika widens his eyes as if asking me what in the world I'm waiting for. Waiting is exactly what I'm exhausted of. Since it seems imprudent to change course, I sit. Two chairs form a crescent together with the couch. Centavo offers me the one closest to my brother before taking the other. Nika assumes a position in front of the door, either to make sure I can't escape or to ensure we are not interrupted. Centavo continues after puffing his pipe. Do die traders make a habit of brewing medicines these days? Only remedies I know of. And how does a young die trader learn such things? I'm tempted to tell the old man it is none of his business, but I bite my tongue, literally. I'm observant of the natural world. After harvesting cochineal from the ferrocactus, how much grape precipitate do you use to precipitate carmine?
Cochineal only live on the Optuna genus.
My victory lasts a second until I realize he has baited me. Centavo taps his pipe to his chin. Why, Callie Bluehair, it appears you have made me look lazy indeed. How long have you known the whereabouts of your mother's garden? I shake my head. And her notes? She lied to me about destroying them. He stands. I raise my hands to defend myself, but he is already strolling toward a desk against the far wall. We were writing a book together before you came along. He pulls something from a desk drawer. My mind spins, churning up Centavo's every word. I track his movement across the room, desperately seeking explanation for his comments about my mother. I'm able to distinguish a wall lined with books, a corner functioning as a kitchen is littered with dishes and racks of liquor bottles. None of this helps. What? No, sorry, I don't know. He tosses a pile of parchment bound with twine into my lap.
I knew your parents. I was there when they were killed.
These words knock the wind out of me, as if I've fallen from a tree and landed flat on my back. Centavo sits and waits politely for me to recover. Dizzy, I concentrate on the book in my lap. It's an unfinished product. In bold purple lettering, I recognize my mother's script. The Divine Garden, Herbal Recipes for a Better Life. I hover on the word divine for long seconds. It cannot mean what I think it means. Wait, what did he say about my parents? He knew them before they were killed? No, he was there. I lean forward, narrowing my eyes. I've seen you before, haven't I?
6.
Centavo smiles. At least I think it's a grim smile.
I mean, this isn't the first time we've met, is it?
He shakes his head.
I have tried to stay away, out of respect for your parents' wishes.
He puffs his pipe.
As you realize, my presence hinders the likelihood of reaching your full potential via the path you have chosen.
You mean Massa?
Yes, Massa. The ever-rising dough of the people.
He blows smoke from his nose.
His speech is so subtle, I can't read whether he is being facetious or genuine.
But it is hard to imagine a man like Centavo being a true believer in Massa.
You believe there to be another path?
Better than Massa? He shrugs.
A long silence passes between us. Each lost second makes it more difficult for me to reach my mother's garden and return inside the shield dome before tomorrow morning's ID burn. Maybe Centavo plans on holding us here. Could there be something in my mother's notes more valuable than dye? As much as I hate the thought, I am sure I would give anything to the old man if it meant saving my brother. Finally, he continues,
I believe the first time you will recall us meeting was at the clinic.
You!
I jump to my feet in disbelief. Nika starts. Centavo doesn't flinch.
That was you? But you had hair!
The old man wags his finger. Please, sit. Begrudgingly, I do so. But I have already decided, if I don't like what I hear next, I will attempt to kill this man. A prosthetic, I assure you. He runs his hand over his bald head. Since I can see our time is short, I will cut to the chase. I give him no acknowledgment other than a hard stare. Your medication, whatever folk remedy you have devised, did not save your brother before. It will not save him now. He is in a state of telekinetic shock. The current has overwhelmed his remaining senses. He is, in a matter of speaking, lost within his own mind. It is rare that someone with such little training has such natural ability. A few simple lessons, and your brother will know how to avoid this state in the future.
And I suppose you're the one to give him those lessons? Is that it? You'll save my brother's life if he agrees to become one of your playthings?
Instantly, I regret the implication that Nika is a toy. The misstep doesn't reduce my protective instinct for my brother, and that instinct says Centavo is a threat. Careful, Callie Bluehair, lest your tongue run away with your reason. One look into his eyes, and I know the tobacco in his pipe is not the only thing smoldering. No matter his reputation, I will not let this man manipulate my brother.
I would have given your brother his first lesson then, if you had not interrupted us. My eyes widen.
You did something to him.
I spot a shiny object lying on the table between us. Snatching a discarded skewer, still retaining a chunk of shriveled carrot, I lunge for him.
Callie, no!
I hear Nika cry out as the air in front of me solidifies and slams me backward. Before I crumple against the wall, my tumbling is arrested. For the second time in as many hours, I feel utterly helpless. Please, gods, give me a searing pain. Anything would be better than this. Instead, I slowly turn in the air, completely apart from my own will, and return to my chair. Even after I'm seated, my muscles remain paralyzed. I hear Centavo clear his throat. He snaps his fingers and my eyes are able to focus. I do so on him, frightened but no less angry.
Fine. You are right to be angry. I violated the privacy and sanctity of your brother's mind without asking permission. It was, at the very least, disrespectful.
He leans forward.
For this overstep, and I want you to listen very closely because I will say this only once, I apologize. Now, if this conversation is to go any further, I request the same in kind for your impulsive attempt to join last night's leftover carrot with my right eye.
My jaw and tongue unstick. With considerable effort, I swallow the pasty saliva pooling in my mouth.
Callie,
Nika dares the one-word exhortation from his station at the door. I hear Centavo's teeth grinding. Clearly the old man could squeeze my brain through my ears and do whatever he wanted to my brother. I hear my father in my head.
Choose your fights, Cal.
Obviously this is not one I can win.
I'm sorry. I apologize for trying to kill you.
Instantly my muscles are my own. A brief euphoria sweeps over me. I wonder for the first time if Centavo is telling the truth about my brother's condition. But some things still don't make sense.
Olin got better that same day, the day I chased you from his room.
Your brother's condition was so easily treatable. Your parents would not have objected to such a subtle level of influence. If my involvement were to become public, he flips the bowl of his pipe upside down and taps it on his hand,
we would have been put at risk. It makes sense.
But wait, you're saying the logwood tea I started giving him that morning had no effect on his recovery?
Logwood tea? Centavo scoffs. Is that the boy's precious medication?
Yes, I stammer. It coincided with his recovery, and since I thought...
I huff at the idea of this old man making light of my efforts to nurse my brother back to health.
He's been taking it every day since, and he's been just...
What?
Centavo interrupts, jumping to his feet.
You've been dosing him with logwood tea daily for almost 2 years.
Finding my anger again, I stand and confirm my suspicion that I'm several centimeters taller than the old man.
Yes, what of it?
For the first time since entering Centavo's home, he touches me physically, gripping my arms.
When was the last dose?
His proximity stuns me. I don't win. He shakes me. I close my eyes to think. Yesterday afternoon, 2 o'clock.
And manganese?
It's in the soil, so it's in the tea.
Then it's no good.
He places an ear to Olin's lips before shaking his head and pacing the room.
What? What in God's name? Say something!
This sudden panic for someone previously so restrained convinces me I've killed my little brother. Me, it's all been my fault. Centavo turns on me.
Didn't you know Logwood tea is addictive?
Of course it's addictive. He needed it, I shout much louder than necessary. Or at least your meddling made me think he did.
Fine. Nothing to be done for it now. And you wouldn't have been completely off. Not at first.
Centavo continues to pace the center of the room, talking to no one in particular.
The tea no doubt soothed his rough edges. Logwood absorbs manganese. It would have calmed his residual telekinesis. Not a completely false diagnosis, but after that, he shakes his head. All it did was bottle up his abilities. I'm surprised he didn't take half the district with him this morning. He needs control, not suppression.
I can't take any more of the old man's ramblings. So, can you help him or not?
Centavo gathers himself. Looks at me, then Nika, then back at me, then at Olin lying unresponsive on the couch. No, I cannot. Not without risking the lives of everyone in Worker City. That will do it for Schismate Episode 3. Thanks for tuning in. We'll pick up next time right where we left off. I'm David Mark Brown. We'll be right back.